on the Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline right now. I am very pleased to introduce to you Ali Sadiq. He's a comedian. He'll be in town October 5th and 6th at the Majestic Theater. I already got my tickets, Matt, but the show sold out already so quickly that they've added a second show each night. So he'll be at the Majestic. So Ali, a pleasure to speak with you, man. How are you doing today?
It is a pleasure to be on the ticket. Thank y'all so much. And y'all come in with playing juvenile. All right.
Gotta have it, man. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Well, man, I was introduced to you, Ali. Went over to my folks' house for Mother's Day, and my sister lives next door. She had the domino effect on, and I think it was the third, either the second or the third one. I can't remember. Maybe even the first one.
If it was Mother's Day, it was the third.
Okay. So I had heard the name, but really wasn't familiar with your work. I came into the show the next week singing your praises because, man, it was really, really a different type of style that I haven't seen in a long time. And I know you get this question a lot, but I'm going to have to give it to you again because I want our audience to really get to know you. It's such a storytelling style that you just don't see too often. When did you first realize that that was the way to go for you to get where you are in this comedy business?
When it worked.
Okay.
That was just, when it worked the first time, I said, you know something? I'm cooking with grease. So what happened is, you know, as a comic, I've been doing this 26 years. So if people go throughout my career, I have reinvented myself multiple times. And D.L. Hughley, my mentor, he called me one day and out the blue and said, hey, man, the funniest you're going to ever be in life is based upon how honest you want to be. And then I started diving around into myself to see, like, man, what can I really tell people about me? And then I went back to Comedy Central. I did a special with Comedy Central called Bigger Than These Bars. People would know that I had been incarcerated, but they never knew why and how I got there. So I dove around and I started Domino Effect. I started in 1983 when I first made when I could remember my first mistake, and I was moving in with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I should have just stayed with my mama, but you know, I jumped out there to, first of all, how you gonna make a decision at 10 to go live with a man that already left? He already left. And then, so I started doing the story about that, and then people asked me, what else happened? And I was like, what? Like, what else happened? You left me in the middle of a chapter. And so I thought, let me go through the timeline of it. And then I just started telling these long stories, entertaining stories about how I grew up and things that happened to me on a day-to-day. And people started gravitating towards it. And then I started reading about storytellers, and you know, you like books, and that's what carry you through a book, that's what carry you through a movie. And then my style is basically my family, because this is how my grandmother, my uncles, everybody tells stories. That's how I've always learned things, by telling stories. So this is how I got here to being a storyteller.
Ali Sadiq on with us now. You get pretty honest and you name names, bro. And I just want to know, when you start doing that, how difficult at the beginning is it to say, all right, I'm telling a story, I'm going to be truly honest, and you are very, very honest about what happened to you and the things that you've done. Has there ever been any brushback from the stories that you're telling and the names that you're naming?
Oh, yeah. The brushback is my family. Oh, man, you know what a family reunion is like with me? Hey, come in. Let me talk to you. Yeah, I know you're going to get into your little stories. Don't bring me up. And my mom is the maddest, like, all the time at me. Like, because, you know, when you get older, you want your grandkids to look at you in a certain type of way. My mama, I be telling so many honest stories. My mom, like, hey, say, bro, man, keep me out your mouth. Like,
right.
But this is not even from convicted people. Like, I tell stories about people who've been convicted, who home. I tell people about all this stuff. But the biggest blowback is family. They want to be perceived in a certain type of way. But, you know, because my sister has kids now, she don't want me talking about none of her past faux pas. I'm like, yeah, but I'm doing it. I'm still doing it.
Right.
Because I have kids, too. I'm not going to be the only one in this family embarrassed. Nah, we're going to talk about it.
Was that a tough decision when you decided to start being as brutally honest as you have been, talking about your time, not just in prison, but dealing drugs and doing some of the things in life that it feels like a lot of people are like, man, I don't know. I went to prison. I learned my lesson. And you're just up on stage telling thousands and thousands of people all about that. Was that hard at first?
Yeah, it was pretty rough at first, I'm starting a new series, which is called In the Shadows. And the reason why it was hard for me, because, man, the majority of people who have been incarcerated, they don't want you to know because of the stigma that comes with it. Mm-hmm. With me, I had to kind of teach people. Cause I used to hear so many things about convicted fellas and what prison was like and da-da-da-da from people who never been and watching TV shows that really elevate things that really wasn't happening. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to tell the truth, let me tell the truth from this angle so people can learn, not just see it as one thing. And me coming home and me going, like, I was brutally honest inside. I'll never forget the day. I'm like, when I was talking to people, I couldn't find nobody who had did their crime. And I was like, hey, so I am the only person in here that's guilty. Like, I just want to know. Because everybody else, like, so did nobody do nothing but me? I am the only person I ever hear. And they say, yo, man, I was wrong for what I was doing. And I think that's my comedy a lot of times is about the learning about from the mistake and then having accountability for what your part was. Like in Domino Effect 1, I don't want people to think because I was a young black man, I was selling drugs to take care of my family. And I was, man, I tell people anything. Man, I never had to sell drugs. My mama had a job. she was building computers at the time. She was working for a company called Ferranti Computers. Like, I could have just simply waited for my mom to buy things, but I got out in the streets. And I say, I wish I was mentally strong enough to avoid some of these pitfalls. That's the only way that young men and older men are going to be accountable and learn from their mistakes. And I keep saying, we are not our mistakes, so I don't have a problem with saying what I used to do because that's the past. Now, let's see how I elevated myself as a human being and as a person to now. And that's how people, I think that's the best way to give this medicine that I particularly have.
Ali Siddiq, he has a show, two shows, as a matter of fact, four shows at the Majestic, October 5th and 6th, two shows each night. I will be there on October 5th. I can't wait because I saw your, I don't think it was your first appearance. I saw your appearance on Def Comedy Jam and it was the more traditional stand up, go out and tell a few jokes and then, you know, high paced, high energy. And now when you open up the Domino Effect, you're sitting there and you just say, hey, y'all. And, you know, it just kind of gets everything. Hey. Just kind of gets everything going. Well, you said you reinvented yourself earlier. I don't know. You may not know the number, but how many times did you have to kind of go back into the lab and say, OK, this is who I am. Traditional stand up. And then all of a sudden I need to morph into something different. Do you know exactly how long that took you?
Five times. If you go back to Comic View, I was a little different in 2000 in Comic View than Def Jam. See, Def Jam was 2007. Mm-hmm. It appeared in 2008. High energy. I'm coming out. I'm talking about my daughter. This is crazy. I used to do flips on stage, like a real flip. And I look back and I'm like, yo, what was I doing?
Can't even imagine that now with the way your style now, man.
Yo, man, I was so. I look back at my old tapes. It's like looking back at old high school pictures. Like, yo, what did I have on? Like, what? Oh, and then you have to explain. Oh, man, this was the style. Hammer pants was in then. It's like I was. Yeah, man, I was full of energy, and I hadn't found myself yet. 26 years of doing stand up. It took me the first 10 years to kind of get a voice of like where I'm. What type of pacing I'm have. And I had changed two times in the 10 years. Then we get to the 20th, between 10 and 15. If you go back to, let's see, 2019, I'm on this show called Bring the Funny. This made me be able to take stories, like the 16-minute stories, and condense them into 2.5 minutes. And punch. So I'm not giving all the layers of the story. I'm giving pop, pop, last. And the year prior to that, I was a more serene type of comic. It was really political. And I'm like, I'm jabbing that thing. I'm like, man, I don't want to do any of that because somebody else can come and do that too. Everybody was talking about Obama at the same time. Everybody was talking about Trump at the same time. So how do you have an original thing and everybody's on one topic? So I just, the last time was just focusing on things about me. This is, and in my mindset, this is a incredible feat for somebody to watch stories about a person. You can follow who I am from Domino Effect 1 to 4. That is 15 years of my life in detail. So that's a, and I got into this mindset of trying to do something that hasn't been done before in stand-up. Nobody has did a continuous series in the end of material, you know, and just about them. No topics, no, and I wanted to be a timeless piece. Like, Carlin has timeless pieces. Cosby has timeless pieces. Richard Pryor has things that's timeless. And if Don Rickles has timeless, that you go in and you don't know what year it is he's talking about. He's just talking. So I wanted to do something like that because that's just a different lane than everyone else. Even Chappelle, I wanted to really separate myself. And I know it took me 5 to 6 times to find out who I actually am. You know, and it's just a process in the craft. You know, I didn't think I was going to get no quick success anyway coming out of Texas because everybody told me that I had to move to L.A. or New York in order to make it. And I was hell-bent on coming out of Texas. I was hell-bent on it. Without a doubt, I was coming from our state, from Houston, and I wasn't budging.
We're chatting with stand-up comedian Ali Sadiq. He will be at the Majestic Theater in October, October 5th and 6th. 4 shows, 2 nights you can choose from if you want to check them out. I was reading somewhere that because these are personal stories and you don't write your jokes, you don't write this material, this is material that you have memories of, that you experienced. Does that sometimes lead to shows being different in a sense where you may have different memory or you may be telling a story and recall something as you're going through that story that you had forgotten about previously?
Yes, sir. That's the beauty of coming to see me. The last time I was in Dallas, I sold out 10 shows, right? At the Addison Improv, beautiful club, love that club. I did 10 different shows. We have all of them recorded because they record the show there, and the staff kept so I'm like, hey, man, you know you're not doing the same material. I'm like, I never do the same material because I don't feel the same way at each time. I don't feel the same way today. I may not tell any of them stories. That's why Majestic, I'm shooting 2 specials. It's not just shows. I'm shooting 2 specials. And one special is about my 2 sons. This is all about me being a father and the difference between them and me and the dynamics of it. And then I got some other little tidbits I throw in there. Then on the next day, I'm doing a whole different show about I'm not handy. And it's difficult being a 50-year-old man having to call other people to fix stuff in your house.
Well, tell me about it.
So this is chipping at my manhood. I'm like, man, every single call just further just depletes me.
Well, like, we are in the same boat with that one, man. We are right there.
It's insane. You know what I'm saying? I gotta keep telling myself, you are a man. And like, that's terrible, man. Like, it is being not, when you own, especially when you own things. And you like, hey, man, I want to at least try to fix it myself. So when I try to do it, I don't like projects that just end up just, hey, man, let me just call the people.
Well, because I'm going to wind up calling them anyway. So what's the point? Because I'm not going to get it done. That's my whole point. It's Ali Sadiq on this with a couple of more minutes. Now, I know you probably get a lot of people, a lot of fans telling you what their favorite story that you've told in one of your specials. So I want to jump on that pile because I've watched all 4 Domino Effects. And in Domino Effect 1, the story about Quincy took me out. That's probably one of my favorite ones until I watched Domino Effect 4 and the story you told about Dexter Manley I had to rewind and watch it again.
What?
Probably absolutely my favorite, that you were incarcerated with him and you kind of hurt his feelings and you had to apologize and make amends. Really, really funny stuff, man, that I'm telling you, I told the audience about you a while back. Hopefully they got a chance to check it out. But when you were coming out and coming up, there's a road that you probably thought you had to take, especially being a black comedian. Do you think the crossover effect kind of helped you out a bit to get to where you are right now? Go ahead.
Oh my goodness! Do you want me to sing the crossover praises, or you just want me to just be regular, man? Let me tell you something. Oh my goodness! You talking about the ability to crossover and be yourself is the thing that resonates with me most. I'm not being anybody else but myself, and every nationality can relate. And this is when I knew stories relate to people in a different way. I was on a show called This Is Not Happening, right? And This Is Not Happening, I told a story about this correctional officer named Mitchell. Now, very violent story, very crazy story. And with this story, you would think, I don't know who this story resonates with, right? So then when I'm in the airport, this older white lady comes with me. She has to be like 70. Has to be. And she walks, I'm sitting in the airport. I have on shades. I have on a hat. That doesn't mean anything. That lady walks up and says, in front of everybody, ma'am, can I get you to give these folks some context? That lady said, walked up to me and said, just like this, you should have killed him. What? I'm in the airport. I said, what, ma'am? She said, you should have killed him. I said, ma'am, I don't know who you think I am, but I know who you are. Your name is Ali Sadiq, and Mitchell, you should have killed him. And I said, wow, okay. That's one.
Right.
One lady. Then another old white lady, different airport, different thing, walks up. I'm eating. She says, excuse me, are you Ali Sadiq? I said, yes, I am. You should have killed him. And I said, Mitchell, yes. And I said, okay. And I go back to the story. I watch it again. I think about it in my head. And I said, you know why this resonates with women, older women? Because it wasn't about where I was at. It wasn't about what color I was. It was about the violation. Somebody had felt helpless in a position where they couldn't do anything about it, and then they never got a get back from it. So me being in that position, being vulnerable, and being able to rectify that situation with that person, let them know it wasn't all right to violate me like that, resonated with them because it connected them. Like, me and them have a similar thing that happened. He got violated as a man. I got violated as a woman. He got some get back, and he didn't hurt him, but he tried. I would love to get my assailant back. I would love to get that person back, but I haven't had the opportunity to. This gave me some type of vindication. And I just try to think and put myself in the positions. It's like when I talk to my children. I don't talk to them just as a parent. Hey, man, I know what it's like being in the seventh grade. I was in the seventh grade before. You know what I'm saying? So I was nothing in the sixth grade. I was mediocre in the seventh. Then I'm hot stuff in the eighth. Seven is a weird position. like people know you, but you ain't an eighth grade.
Right, right.
So then you get to the eighth grade, you're back to being nothing. You're a freshman. Then junior year is weird. Junior year, like, hey, man, you know, am I graduating? I don't know. It's one of them things. So if you can put yourself in the position of a person and put yourself in that from that angle, I think that you'll connect with people. And every story is different, man. Dexter Manley, I tell you, is one of my favorite stories to tell. Like, I love telling this story because I remember the whole thing. And then I've seen Dexter when we were, once we got out, I seen Dexter jogging down the street. He's like, what's up, Dex? He's like, what's up, baby?
Well, man, that is fantastic, and we can't wait. I can't wait to see you October 5th. I'll be at the Saturday show at the Majestic, the first show, and it's a pleasure speaking with you, man. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to speak with you again. It's Ali Sadiq, and don't forget the Domino Effect, 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're available on YouTube, free. Go check it out. It is well worth your time, man. You are the funniest cat going out there right now that I know, and I can't wait to see you in October, and it's a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and I would be it would be dishonest to me if I did not do what I do on every station in Dallas. And everybody in Dallas know it, because they got me last time when I showed up to 10 shows. I promised that I would wear a Dallas Cowboy jersey, so okay. I went and bought a Tony Dorsett, because everybody know me. Go Giants. I don't like the Cowboys with gusto, you know what I'm saying? And they know how I get out in Dallas. Y'all know it, Dallas. You know what I'm saying?
All right, man. We'll see you. We'll see you October 5th.
Look how I get awkward. Okay, bye now. Bye. Man, thank y'all so very much.
Pleasure is ours, man. Thank you so much. Ali Sadiq, comedian, will be here at the Majestic October 5th and 6th for 4 shows, taping 2 specials. And if you haven't seen it, go check out the Domino Effect. And I'm telling you, you will be right there at the Majestic enjoying that comedy show. It is fantastic.